Good morning, Zion Lutheran. I always have to wait because I preached in a bunch of different places, so I want to make sure I got the name right. So it's good to see you this morning. I don't know if you know, but I was traveling back from Denver yesterday. And so when they asked me 3 weeks ago to serve you today, I said, I will, but if you read about what's going on with the airlines. And so on the way out, it was terrible. On the way back, God was in control. So we got back and I'm here. So those of you that are close by, you might see that I'm wearing a sandal and a regular shoe. And so I don't want you to miss the worship service by wondering about my fashion ability. But I actually broke my right leg about 3 months ago, and I can't get a regular shoe on yet. So that's what that's all about. So today we're actually going to look at the concept of God keeping his promises. And it's a very important concept because if you think about it, everything we have from God is promises, right? We have very little in hand, if you will, but we live on his promises. And maybe, like me, you have sometimes wondered, where is God? Why isn't he keeping his promises? And so today, when we study the story of Abram, we're going to consider that question about God and his promises. I invite you today to set aside this next hour to push out of your mind any thoughts or dinner plans or whatever you have on your mind today, and just give yourself fully to God for this next hour. God's blessings on your worship. We open with our first hymn.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, July 31st, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this morning's broadcast are Linda McEwen, Dennis Knauer, and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson, and our opening hymn is number 730, What is the World to Me? Hymn number 730, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Donald Clockengay is sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for the blessings of his family, friends, health, and 91 birthdays.
Thank you.
We worship this morning in the name of the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if,
we confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all his sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Join with me now as we read responsively Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasure you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for today is taken from Genesis, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 14. This will also serve as our sermon text for today. The Lord appeared to Abram by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent of Sarah, and said, Quick! Three sieves of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abram ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abram, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We do the catechetical review in regards to the office of the keys. Where is this written? This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20.
The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
Our epistle lesson is taken from Colossians, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. If you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to them, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to keep my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, for this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.' This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for the singing of the sermon hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 782, "Gracious God, You Send Great Blessings." Hymn number 782 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon text is the Old Testament lesson that we previously read. General Douglas MacArthur wanted to be known as a man who kept his promises. During World War II, he was forced to break one of his promises when outnumbered 10-1 by the Axis forces in the Philippines. He had to break his promise. Deeply disappointed, he issued a statement to the press in which he promised his men and the people of the Philippines, "I shall return." That promise became a mantra during the next 2.5 years, and he would repeat it often when he made public appearances. On October 20th, 1944, a few hours after his troops landed, MacArthur waded ashore on the Philippine island of Leyte. That day, he made a radio broadcast declaring, "People of the Philippines, I have returned." What is a promise? A promise is a commitment by someone to do something. They are best when they are freely given. Promises give us hope. They make us excited. They give us something to hang on to when life is hard. But promises are only as good as the one who makes them. If Bill Gates promises to give you $1,000, you can probably expect that you're going to get $1,000. If your parents make a promise to you, 9 times out of 10, they will be able to keep their promises. But if it's a man you've never met before and he looks a little sketchy in the first place, it's probably best not to get your hopes up too high. God is one who makes many promises. Did you know that there are over 8,800 promises in the Bible? When God makes a promise, they should really get our attention. And that's what we're speaking about in our text for today. God came to Abram in our text to clearly state that he was about to complete a promise that he had made to Abram and Sarah. And we learn through this lesson that God always keeps his promises. A skeptic may read the story of Abram's life without reading what happens next before Abram died and draw a very different conclusion. You see, when Abram was about 75 years old, God came to him and said, "I want you to leave your family, your country, and everything you know behind." Now, maybe the Lord told Abram more than what's contained in the scriptures, but I don't think I could have easily done what Abram did. You know, it was kind of hard to move in Abram's day. There were no trucks, no cars, no cell phones, no pods that showed up in your driveway and magically appeared where you were going. And Abram was an animal farmer. When he moved, the logistics of moving his massive herds was daunting, to say the least. I'm sure he was thinking in his mind, "Where will I forage my flocks on the way? Where am I going anyway?" Because God never told him. He couldn't just look up on Google Maps and get a satellite image of where he was going. And even if that technology existed in that day, it wouldn't do any good because God didn't tell him where he was going until he got there. I'm not sure many of us would have left everyone and everything we knew under such circumstances. But there's more.
God did give Abram further promises to encourage and enlighten him. Three times before our text, God appeared to him in person or in dreams, giving him basically the same promise. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In a nutshell, God promised that Abram would have a huge family, that they would actually become a nation. So great was he to become that the rest of the world would experience blessing through his family. And the greatest blessing of all would be that the Messiah would come from his family. At the time of our text now, it's some 24 years later since God first came to Abraham. And Abraham had waited a long time for any of God's promises to be realized. He still was no greater than he was when he left. He still had no land that he could call his own. And worst of all, he had no son to carry on his name. And he and his wife's bodies were well past childbearing years. I'm sure Abram's family back home would have liked to have a Facebook on which they could have put out some snarky comments about Abram's decisions to leave the family so far behind. But here in our text, God is indeed standing before Abram once again to reiterate his promises to Abram. He told Abram that in a year that he would have a son. Now, we're not told about Abram's body language. You know, did he roll his eyes back? Did he shake his head? But we did hear about Sarah, who was eavesdropping just outside the tent door. And she laughed. And then she spoke about her doubts of God keeping his promise. But would we be much different? Wouldn't we laugh too if we waited 24 years and all human wisdom would say that God would not keep his promises? It seemed that God was stringing them along with false promise after false promise. It's a good thing we know the rest of the story, though, isn't it? Abraham did have a son a year later. His name was Isaac. Abraham's family did become a great nation. One of his sons, David, was a great kingdom maker. Another of his sons, Solomon, was the wisest man to ever live. And another son, Jesus, became the Savior of the world. History proves that God always keeps his promises. This lesson of Abram shows God keeps his promises, but the rest of Scripture adds to this story, as we will look at now. Passages like, God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some count slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Maybe some of you in this room have felt like Sarah. God, when are you going to do something? Why is it taking so long? Are you even out there? Sometimes God waits as long as he needs to get the best possible effect with his work in our life. You see, the things that God is involved with are not just about us. Even though many of our prayers expect that God is just about us. The things that he is involved with are complicated. Sometimes he has us wait so that we can exercise and strengthen our faith. Because if he gave us answers right away, we would think of him as a genie god who just jumps when we call. He has so many lives and so many circumstances in his hands, and in his plans that intersect with our little lives just in a very small way, that he can't go any faster than what he does. He can't even explain to us what he's doing because we couldn't understand it anyway. But we need to know this. God is working as fast as he can to affect the salvation of as many lives as possible. God always keeps his promises, and he always keeps them in the quickest possible way. Here's another passage from Scripture. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. By far the greatest promises of all that God has given to us are the promises of God restoring what was lost by our fall into sin. When humans owned the full image of God, they knew his will. Humans trusted him completely to direct their lives. They had absolutely no doubts that what he wanted for them was the very best. But now we doubt. Now we fear. Now we disagree with God. Sometimes we downright fight with God. But God patiently explains how things should be. He especially shares what we need to know to be freed from the corruption of our sin that has infiltrated our bodies and our souls. He knows that if we will but believe in him, we will have a good life, a life that will never end. God promises heaven as the proverbial icing on the cake of life to those who trust in his Son for their salvation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. For we know that in all things God works together for good for those who love him and who have been called according to his good purpose. Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. These four promises alone are enough on which to build a spectacular life. But there are more than 8,000 more promises that God gives to us, each of them absolutely certain to be fulfilled. God promises to lead us where we should go in life. Just as when he led the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and of smoke by night, God leads us through his word. He answers the questions, what should we do? What shouldn't we do? What should we do when God's word conflicts with what I want to do and what my friends want me to do? What about when human scientists say one thing and God says another? Which way should I go when so many others are doing something else and they're willing to bash and slam me if I oppose them? God's word and ways will stand the test of time. That is his promise to us. He tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Our world promises what it promises to us. Our God makes his promises. Whom will we believe? Whom will we follow? I know what Abraham would say to us. God always keeps his promises. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise.
Using the words of the Nicene Creed,
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And now, as a people of God, let us join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Father God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to you because you promise us that when we come to you as your children in the name of Jesus Christ, you will both hear us, you will listen, and you will act. We come this morning because there are many promises that you give us that help us to shape our lives. The greatest of all is the promise that whosoever believes in you shall not perish, but have eternal life. We hold on to this promise throughout our lives, and especially at the end of our lives, it gives us strength to transition to the life to come. You promise that every single day that you give us life, that you will care for us, that you will sustain us. And especially when things seem to not be going well, we hold on to this promise because it is you that has promised, and you always keep your promises as quickly as possible. Sometimes in our lives, you know best that it is time to test and to exercise and to strengthen our faith. And you give us wilderness journeys in which we have to look for you carefully and to hear your voice when it is such a small whisper. And then receive from you the change and the growth that you desire for us. And during this time, as Abraham did for 24 years, we hold on to your promises, believing that if you have made them, they will come to pass. May the blessing and the lesson of Abraham teach us also when we wonder where you are and are you really there. We pray for this church and for all who witness in this world. We pray for its message in this town of Lincoln, that all who live here may know your name because of the witness that we give. And as each of us individually go into the world and as we live out our lives, may it be clear to everyone around us that God does keep his promises, and we are evidence of that fact, and that we will not put him down or harm his name, wondering about his righteousness and his plans. We also pray for this family of faith. We pray thanksgiving for Emma Lou Knauer for her 85th birthday. We thank you for 85 years of blessing and for the blessing of family to share this joy with. We also thank you for, on behalf of Norm and Pat Mueller, that Norm's heart condition was swiftly diagnosed this week and that he had pacemaker surgery that was successful. We ask that you would continue to strengthen Norm as he recuperates and Pat as she recovers from COVID diagnosis. Strengthen them not only in body but also in true faith. We pray for those who struggle and have discomfort in body, soul, and spirit. We pray that they would come to you for help, that you would be their peace and their strength and their hope. And remind them of your promises to be with them always to the very end of their days. We also now bring to you those that we name in our hearts. These and all prayers we bring to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you just heard Reverend David Ehlers deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 a.m. or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of our Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Now to receive Christ's body and blood. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and saving that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and to drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve me in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.
The first communion hymn is Chief of Sinners, Though I Be, hymn number 611, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Christ. And now may this true body and this true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this saving gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now with believing hearts receive the blessing of your God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace.
The closing hymn is number 761, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Hymn number 761, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Rock of Ages, cleft for me.
Announcements that they would like to share?
Good morning. I'm not sure the microphones are out here, but anyway, I want to thank Pastor Dave for being here today. We're really glad he's here, especially the elders. We were on Plan E. Pastor Thompson shared with us his plight that the travel may be a problem, so Pastor Thompson did have us prepared to present a service for you. I think Plan A was much better than Plan E with the elders.
Are you Lyndon?
Excuse me?
Are you Lyndon?
No, I'm not Lyndon.
Okay, because when I called Lyndon, he was very grateful that I called him.
And then he called me, and yeah. We were very grateful. So anyway, thank you. The next thing, I would encourage and invite everybody here to go next door to the auditorium. We've got Sergeant Josh Ferris to speak with us. He has a presentation to go over safety for the church, things that we should all be aware of as things unfold in this crazy life of things that have gone on in churches, schools, whatnot, that we all need to be aware of. So he's got a presentation next door. I would encourage you guys to go over there and listen in on what he has to tell us.
Anybody else have anything to share? Well, it's good to be back. I was here last year about this time, so starting to be a regular, I guess. Pray for your pastor and his family as they travel and as they let their hair down a little bit with family and enjoy themselves. Pray safe travels and blessings on their vacation. And finally, you know, God's promises are everything, right? Everything that we really hang on to with our faith is based on His promises. And so isn't it good to know, even when the evidence does not seem to prove it, that God always keeps His promises, and He always does it as quickly as is best. Have a blessed day. Good morning.